Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Okay, we're underway with the Media Project. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ira Fussfeld, the retired publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York, here along with Alan Shartok, professor emeritus at the State University of New York, publisher of the Legislative Gazette, a subject I'd like to get back to today, and because it's now an all-digital publication, and president
or will be.
Will be, and now president and CEO of WAMC Northeast Public Radio, and Rosemarie Arameo, investigative journalist and professor of journalism at the State University of Albany. It's been a very interesting week just past in media, dominated by two stories as we speak, one of which Donald Trump, the gift that keeps on giving, and the other one...
Wait a second. The gift that keeps on giving is syphilis.
Oh, okay.
Did you just call Trump a venereal disease? I'm not so sure
let me
that's
see.
Inaccurate.
No.
Well, we'll get back to him, but on a much more serious note is, of course, the shooting of the two journalists on live TV in Virginia. A lot of different angles to this, not the least of which is the use of the footage after the event took place or the non-use of the footage, the social media explosion that occurred when the videos, the more graphic pictures of the videos showed up and then were taken down. I guess it's, this is not a specific question. It's just a general takeaway for both of you. What do you make of this whole episode?
Well, I'd like to speak to that, but before I do, I'd like to ask Rosemarie a personal question. She has a T-shirt on. On the back of the T-shirt, it says, sure. Sure what?
The front of it has Buddha on it. So the question is for you to decide. I believe I got this in Thailand.
Because there's a message about...
Yes, but the message you have to find yourself.
Oh, I
work
see.
Work towards enlightenment.
Or as the old joke goes, you mean life isn't like a bowl of cherries?
Sure.
See, I worked so hard to set this up with a nice and reverential term.
What were you saying
again? I mean, I'm always the one to bow to the joke, and I tried to avoid it this time.
What were you saying again?
I was asking you for your takeaways, respectively, of this event yesterday, other than the horror, et cetera. But there are a number of media issues that have resulted from it, and I want to see what you think are the most important and how you respond to them.
I want to defer to Rosemarie because I haven't always been nice to her, and I want to make sure she knows she's the most important person in the room.
And I'll keep it serious because this is surely serious stuff. The biggest takeaway for me is I now think that news reporters will risk their lives doing live shots, even on the simplest of stories. We have copycat killers. We have people who don't like the media, and this is like a nice excuse. Just like we had a series of shootings in theaters after Aurora, I worry that this will be the next thing. It's awful. The second
But
thing-
let me ask you about that, because I was going to raise a point that it may be trite or may sound callous, but there a number of the media organizations, and in fact the one committee that the name of which escapes me, that keeps track of journalists who are killed in any given year, said now
committee
there have been...
The Committee to Protect Journalists.
Okay, and now this, they're saying now it's 40 and 41 as a result of these two murders. And these people were not murdered because they were journalists. They were not in a war zone. They just happened to be ex-colleagues of a disgruntled ex-employee. And
they might as well have been working in a post office.
Right, so in terms of journalists being feared going... fearful going forward,
right.
It's not quite the same.
That was my comfort at first. Like, oh, wow, at least it wasn't because they were doing some story. It's a workplace issue. But we have a gun culture. Virginia, where this occurred, has no regulation of guns. It's one of the worst states. We have a gun culture. We have journalists who are extremely unpopular. I know you want to talk about Trump and his antics. They're very anti-press, and that's so dangerous. That's my second biggest takeaway, is that Why is it that people in America do not understand what a wonderful gift, I'm going to use that word, they have in free journalists? Yes, they make mistakes. Yes, they can be idiots and arrogant. But no place in the world, well, that's not really true because Western Europe and Australia, but few places in the world allow for the government and powerful institutions of business and society to be watched over by the media. We're so lucky to have that, and we laugh at this. The third thing, of course, is gun control. That's related to that. Why are mentally ill, unstable people allowed to have and get guns? It's crazy. And the fourth thing is, this case raised a lot of issues about showing graphic footage. Mm-hmm. The shooter, of course, in this case, took a picture of himself at work as if he were, I don't know, Rambo or Clint Eastwood, and posted it all over social media. It was all taken down. And I saw many people saying, well, the journalists should learn. You know, they take it down for their own. Why don't they take it down for other people? And I don't think we have had a serious, long look at the value and the negatives of showing terrible footage. Yeah. ISIS, terrorists, other places in the world do show this because that's part of what's really going on. We don't. We have all these issues of taste.
Well, all of that has changed. Obviously, I agree with both of you. I mean, it is true, Ira, you're exactly right. This didn't happen because they were journalists. Although, one could make the argument, I think, that this guy shows up because he knows they're on television and he knows he can make an impact. And when you think about it for a second, that's what ISIS is all about and what these killers are all about. They destroy Buddha. Why did they do that? They do it because they know they're going to get international headlines and sow fear into the body politic, and people are going to know that. So I think Rosemary has a big concern, because surely there is an idiot out there, a heinous idiot, may I say, who is sitting there and saying, you know, that's not a bad idea.
I'll be a hero, too. I'll be on TV. I'll be famous.
And I can make people afraid by doing that. Do I agree with you, although I know where you're coming from, Rosemary, that no, you know, 25-year-old reporter will ever go out there and endanger themselves anymore? I don't. I think that's part of the deal.
The scary thing is, in danger, she was in a shopping center talking to the head of the Chamber of Commerce. That's not dangerous. So what's safe anymore? If you can get killed doing that, how about covering corruption? How about covering protest? All of these things become immeasurably more dangerous. The whole graphic thing that you talked about, the digital video connections, really interesting. We know very little about this. One of the things the NRA has done is shut down real research on the interconnections between video games and viral kind of use of the media and crime. We don't really know. And yet, look at this crime. He did this to become a star, in part, to get revenge. We've had some other cases. Who was the guy who was watching a video before he ramped himself up to go into the theater to shoot at people?
Mm-hmm. Now, look, I think we really can't get inside, because that's why I like the mental health piece that you raise with us, Rosemary. We can't get in the heads of a madman. Let's face it. We knew, and I think you're right about gun checks and things of that, we knew he was off the wall and had become unraveled because he had to be escorted out of his workplace by security. But then he's allowed to go into a store, I expect we're going to find out, and buy a weapon. What's interesting about the media in all of this, to me, is that the media has so covered this and so well, although I have to tell you, I was horrified to see those pictures in the New York POST and on the front page of the Daily News. I was horrified to see the gun flaring and the woman going, no, you know, in shock. I don't think it should have been there. But I can tell you this much. All of a sudden, and I don't think it's unrelated, Walmart comes out and says, we're not going to sell attack rifles in our place.
Actually,
and that's
they say it was unrelated. They had made the decision, and it was kind of
those weapons were not selling real well, and they substituted them with other weapons.
Sure, maybe.
But what do you think? You said the media covered it real well. Do you, absent the picture discussion, which we could have, but by media in this case, you're talking about the cable news networks?
I'm talking about everything.
Because I'm wondering whether, you know, I'm always torn by blanket coverage of events like this, and I'm wondering whether these people had not been journalists, would it have received the coverage, or was the distinction here in part because the shooting was on live TV?
That's it. And many people, if you look at, like, all my conservative friends on Facebook who I measured this by, was like, oh, yeah, sure, you cover this because it's two of your own. No, that's not it. It was a live shooting. It was indistinguishable from video games and from live-action movies. It was Clint Eastwood.
On the other hand.
It really was.
On the other hand, you know how much, and I mean this is not tongue-in-cheek, how much I love and respect you But I do know that you are a fierce watcher over those who would harm the press, and that this has been a major calling. So I think when somebody says to us, you know, people die on the side streets and they don't get anything like this kind of coverage, I think we do, as a profession, tend to take care of our own.
I realize that I'm susceptible to that criticism. However, this I see as another escalation in the horrible problem this country has with guns. Sandy Hook was the last saturation coverage. The theater shootings. And then Sandy Hook. And this is another one, because this guy used the media to project and glorify his crime.
Yeah.
That is different.
Although, again, there were people who raised the gun control issue, including some of the political people. As Alan pointed out, I believe it has been already established that this guy got the guns legally and that there was nothing that would have prevented somebody like him. So he, you know.
That's the problem.
Even though he got it the right way.
We have a nutty country here. I mean, here's my issue. I mean, after Sandy Hook, forget about everything else. How in the world could you wipe out this group of beautiful young children and expect? And Norway had the same thing, by the way. You may remember when the guy went onto the island where the camp was, and not say, okay, as a country, we need to deal with this. Look, JFK gets assassinated in airports and everything else get named after him. But this is unexplainable to me that we are so in love with our guns in this culture. And by the way, that's something the media could really do a better job in explaining.
Well, absolutely. I've used the phrase for a long time about this being the new normal. I mean, you had a story this morning. They were reporting on the killings in Virginia, and then they went to a story about another trooper being shot. I believe it was in Louisiana. I mean, it seems to be a daily occurrence. It gets coverage. It gets wringing of hands. And then we just move on to the next story.
The United States lacks the political will to do anything about out-of-control guns. And we've turned it into a constitutional issue.
So is Alan right in turning it to the media, that the media should be doing more about it?
Well, the media should be doing
more. If Rosemary is running a newspaper and she makes an assignment, one of those assignments, it seems to me, is to explain just why we're so crazy on this issue, why we are so in love with our guns, what that is all about. There'll be Freudians who talk about guns as extension of genitalia. There'll be a lot of people, but we really ought to understand it better.
You know, the problem is that the American media is downsizing, and it's under attack, and it isn't very strong. And what was it? A few weeks ago, I was here saying, oh, we have to have better coverage of prisons. It's horrible what's going on there. No one's looking at it. That's true. So are guns. What are we supposed to do? How do you cover all of this? And by people whose efforts are scorned. We do not celebrate teachers or journalists in this country.
Well, teachers we can celebrate, because everybody has great teachers.
Well, we celebrate our favorite teacher, but as a whole, we don't.
Well, let's go back to Rosemary alluded to it earlier, the images from the shooting. Both the images that the quote-unquote mainstream press, some of them, the New York City tabloids, to be sure, and some of the cable, at least initially, but also the social media issues.
All over media, social media.
This is a whole, again, the new normal. This is what is this?
I was going to go there, but probably take a diversion you probably won't approve of, Mr. Moderator. So I'll just try it for a moment.
You can talk about Rosemary's T-shirt again.
No, that wasn't good. But I do it again. But the question is, what about Hillary? Now, here's Hillary. She has everything she needs that we expect for a super candidate, except for a sort of personality which draws you in. And she's not an underdog. Whereas when she went after the, quote, Republican, what'd she call that?
The right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah. We all loved her for that, because she showed some spunk and she showed some fight. And here, when you play it safe, which is what the front runner always does, when you play it safe and try not to step into it, you know, you get into trouble. But
wow,
Rosemary,
I just can't disagree with you.
Well, I know, but one more second, and that is, you mentioned the social media, and I think it's the social media right now that is not her friend, because with all of the billions that you may be able to raise eventually, you can't stop people from posting and saying, you know, I don't like her, I don't like this. I think it's a huge difference from what we used
to have.
Well,
you have to be careful about that. You know, we'll talk about Trump more later, but Trump likes to say how, look at how everybody on the internet says that I won the debate. What people are saying on the internet is not necessarily a fair and accurate cross-section of what the country
so
is
what?
Thinking. So if Hillary, for example, is being beaten up on social media, does that mean that Hillary is falling through the toilet, as it were, in terms
Hillary
of popularity?
Hillary is not being beaten up on the social media. We all read different parts of the social media. I read feminist and women and journalists, and she's extremely popular. And I would vote right now for the candidate who is boring and showed some decorum, unlike Trump, who is bold and says what he means. Gosh, I hate hearing that. He says what he really means.
Well, but on the
why
other,
do we love that? Why do we glorify that? Yeah, the media is not doing a good job there either.
Well, Trump is not a good example. Bernie's a good example. Because here's Bernie. He's out there. And people love him. And 25,000 people go into a stadium to hear him because he is an underdog. And because, you know, he's coming up fast. And because he's passionate in dealing with subjects that you will not hear Hillary Clinton dealing with. So, and that is a place that social media can make all of the difference in.
This is the Media Project.
Let the record show that Rosemary has pursed lips and is shaking.
We're going to get back to her. I just want
her
it's
head
about
back
halfway
and forth.
Through.
You're
and I
promoting
wanna just...
your own personal favorite. That's all. It's just I don't see the evidence. Show me evidence.
Well, it's true. That's why I announced that I was going to vote for Bernie because I wanted people to know where I was coming from. Unlike other people.
Okay,
so you've announced that you're going to vote for Bernie, and if you have the opportunity the next time to interview Hillary, is Hillary right to feel I'm not going to get a fair shake from this guy because he's already announced?
I've interviewed Hillary a number of times.
But she was running against Bernie.
No, and I've always given her a fair shake, and she knows she'll get a fair shake from me. That's all that counts.
That's Alan Shartok. She's Rosemary Mayo. I'm Ira Fussfeld. There's lots more I'd love to talk about the shooting, but I do want to talk about Trump as well in the last 8 minutes or so. He had a very interesting press conference the other night, the headline of which was Jorge Ramos, the noted Spanish language journalist, broadcaster, sometimes called the Walter Cronkite of Spanish language broadcasting, attempted to get up at the press conference, ask a question. Trump denied him the opportunity. Ramos continued. Ramos was thrown out of the press conference. Trump's reasoning, he said, was because he was calling people by who had raised their hands, and he had come up out of turn, Ramos had. Eventually let Ramos back in. Ramos got to have a question/debate with Trump, etc. Your takeaway from that?
Horrible behavior on Trump's part, and I hate that, again, the general public seems to be applauding this on CNN. He and his people were on last night crowing about how well he handled the situation.
He meaning Trump?
Trump, yes. Handling the situation of an obstreperous reporter. That guy was Ramos. He asked a question, and it was slightly combative, but it wasn't impolite.
And there was a lawsuit going on between his sponsoring organization.
Trump was so disingenuous because at one time he said, I don't know who that guy is, and then he clearly knew who that guy is.
Yeah, goes back to Univision.
Okay.
But can I go back to the protocol? I want to just add another factor because Rosemary...
I want to take a turn.
Was it appropriate for Ramos to do what he did when the procedure at the press conference was raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you, much as it is in the Obama press conference?
Yes, and wait a second now. First time I saw George Bush, the W, say, oh my goodness, I've lost my place.
Right, he was
here.
The one who started it.
You know, I was supposed to call on the person from AP. In other words, that guy Ramos wasn't going to get a chance. I think he got a chance because they didn't want to look bad in this, but... I watched it, and here's where you guys are going to get furious with me for a change. I watched it, and I thought Trump did not sound shrill. He did not sound combative when he said no.
What
it's
about
not,
when
it's
he
not,
said go back to Univision? That was not, so so demeaning of that.
Widely seen as go back to Mexico.
Go back to Mexico.
Well, you can project anything into anything that anybody says, but I don't know that it's warranted. And I'm not defending Trump. I don't like him. But I'm telling you, you have to be able to put yourself in the other guy's shoes. And I watched the way he did it. And I think the reason so many Americans are with him on this is they hate the press. And they think, you know, you do wait your turn. And I once gave a speech and somebody came up to me afterwards and was abusive. And if you go, Rosemary, to a group I did once and say, how many of you have had an unsatisfactory dealing with the press? and it's a service group, everybody in the room raises their hand. So
well,
there,
why is
there
that
is
so
that.
Surprising? If you're covering a news story, the chances are you're not covering something pleasant. You know, news is generally not good. So why would anyone have a good experience with the media?
Well, because they
you're an advertiser.
Because at least they expect to get your middle initial right and to get your quote right, as opposed to projecting something that really never happened. And I'm sorry, Rosemary, you can make all the faces you want.
Yeah, I can, because once again, you're making sweeping statements. I would like to see one example of that, one story that there were mistakes in it so grievous that it cost.
I had a guy, I'm so sorry, long time ago, you want one, I'll give you one, who wrote for one of the New York tabloids, who called me up, and he got it wrong. He didn't even call me. He just put it in his column, and he got it wrong, and I called the guy up, and I said, hey, Tom, how could you do this? And the guy said, okay, don't worry about it. I said, I want a retraction. He said, no retraction. But believe me, I'll make it up to you later. Now, come on. First of all, he never made it up to me later. And second of all, two wrongs don't make a right.
You know, Alan gets on me a lot when I say that the press represents the public at events such as press conferences. You have this Spanish language king of media who is deeply concerned, as are all of his viewers, with what Trump is proposing vis-a-vis immigration. And he's trying to press Trump to get the answers, not because he needs the fame. Ramos is already the most famous guy out there in Spanish news. He was trying to get Trump to answer a question, and Trump is not doing it. He's avoiding it. Even in answering, he still isn't giving specifics. My point being, why should the press be viewed as bad there when they're trying to get answers that his viewers want?
It isn't the question, Ira, and I have to disagree with you about this. It isn't the question of why should they. It is that they do. The American people don't like or trust journalists. We've seen lots of polls about this, and there has to be a reason for that.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that we can say that this instance is a good example of that, because there are millions of people in this country of Mexican or Latin American descent who are fearful of what will happen if Trump is ever elected. And we still don't really know, because his answers have been so general. And Ramos is trying to press him. And sometimes when journalists try to press people, it ain't pretty.
Trump is acting like an ass, and we're letting him get away with
you
it. Because we're treating him politely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how bad people get ahead all the time, because we treat them as if they're reasonable. And he is not. We're playing on his terms, down to the fact that every interview you see with him, all those exclusive interviews, are in his hotel.
His hotel or on the telephone.
You see all how busy he is. He looks like a mogul. Why are we doing that? Why are we treating him politely?
You're doing it because you don't want to be the Sunday morning show that doesn't have Trump on, or the other people. That's why you're doing it. You're doing it for...
Blame the media for that, not for asking bold questions like Ramos did.
You're doing it for prostitutional reasons. That's why. And not that you're a prostitute. It's that the press is a prostitute.
Well,
I want to make that plain.
Good, so shoot them. Because that's the feeling now. You keep criticizing the press for the mistakes we
certainly
make.
Certainly, the last
you
thing...
You admit the mistakes and change, but you don't blame the whole institution
certainly
for them.
The last thing we
you
should do...
You are really annoying me today.
I know that, and I'm very proud.
Ira, start moderating.
This never happens when Rex is here.
I demand the right of reply.
You've done nothing but talk.
Right.
What are you replying
and here's my right of reply. You know, the fact is, Rosemary, if you had your way, nobody would ever criticize the press for anything, and that's your
question. You know that that's...
I myself have criticized.
You know, I'm going to say something that talk about biting the hand that feeds you. But since we're not paid for this, I'll take my chances. Media programs like this, of which there are many, they're both cable networks have them, are very interesting and can be very informative when you delve seriously into press issues. But the criticism of the media, much of it self-inflicted, is something that I think is increasing the hatred of the media in the minds of the public. We're pointing out our foibles so that we can discuss them intellectually. And some of the discussions, such as what we've just had, can really rile up people who shouldn't be allowed to be riled up.
Who shouldn't be allowed to be riled
up? Yes, well, the
what
more
kind
dangerous
of dictators are you people, anyway?
Well, you know, there's only 30 seconds. We can't talk about Trump still fighting with Megyn Kelly. We can't talk about the BBC being asked to give up video that it took of the scene of the Virginia shooter. We have to hold on to the Daily News refusing to give corrections on photos that were incorrectly captioned, and the Legislative Gazette going all digital. So we'll put that all on hold. If you've stood with us this far, and I do appreciate it, because we all like each other, the tenor of the discussion is the
contrary. Not so much anymore.
Not so much.
Well,
right.
I love both of you.
Well, this has been the Media
Project.
It's just
that you're wrong.
I'm Ira Fussfeld with Alan Chartuk and Rosemary Mayo. Tune in again next week, and we'll try it again.
Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people when they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper gill, got a free new world to build.